Good morning. We're glad that you're here this morning. It's always good to gather together as God's people to worship and to spend time in fellowship. And today is a special day as well on a few levels, but we're also sharing a potluck luncheon afterwards. And that's always nice. That's the first one post-COVID, although we know COVID's around, but the first one starting up again. And so that's wonderful. We're really happy about that and happy that over these past number of months, and I don't even know when you stopped or started, but you're having coffee and tea after church, and it gives that opportunity for the body of believers here to spend a bit of time together. Just want to take a moment to thank you. Here I go. I'm going to get through it. Thank you for all of your kindnesses to us over the past, I think, 7 months. And when we arrived at the beginning of July, we had never been to the core, had only been in St. Catharines once. And so even on the Sunday morning, we were there like, which door do we come in? Someone point us out. You know, we know where the platform is, so we, you know, figure that out. And we discovered quickly that we knew some of you already from many years ago and others, of course, we have gotten to know since then. And we've shared life together over these last number of months. And for us, we've shared, because we felt bad actually when we first arrived because we already had the existing holidays in place when our son and his family were coming from Germany. So we were here and we were gone and we were here and we were gone. But we were able to share some of that joy with you. And then the Sunday that we came back and said that our two children in Toronto, our son and daughter there, had arranged for our daughter in Greece to come as a surprise for us for our 40th anniversary. And I mean, like I said, and on Facebook as well, good thing we have strong hearts. When she walked in the door and we thought she was on the phone, because you have, you know how you have phones and somebody's passing around and here's Amy, we could hear Amy, and then Amy walks in the door. And so we share that joy with you as well. We've also shared the joy of some weddings, and the David and Kristen Boone, and the snow globe wedding, which I will always, massive snow globe. So shared in that joy, and around, all around the same time, Ed and Karen's daughter got married, one of her daughters, and one of our daughters got married. And so there was a whole lot of wedding talk during those days, and those were fun times. We've also shared some sad times. There have been losses, as in any church, any group of believers, any group of anywhere. And so some, your dad, your mom, your husband, your wife have passed on and gone into the presence of Jesus. And of course, in a special, different way, the loss and the death of one of your core officers. And I've been thinking about that the last few days, and you know, there's not too many churches anywhere, Salvation Army, corps, or churches that experience that, where one of your pastors is dying. And can we use the word a gift? I don't, you know, it's not a happy gift, but that's a gift in a sense. I've just sort of been thinking about this, that we have been given, that we have shared this experience, nowhere near as profound as for Major Don and his family. But it's something that we have experienced as a congregation during these months. And so, like I always say with sermons and the application part, what are we going to do with that? How the Lord has brought us together. You folks have cared for their family and before, and now you will continue with Major Don. But for us, in our homes, in our workplaces, in school, in our social settings, and here in the core, how will that change, and how has that changed us? Lots of exciting things coming up in the core, and happy things and fun things, and we wish we were staying for it, and we've said a few times, don't tell anyone else, but if we lived closer, we would come back here to...
And if we would come back, we'll need a volunteer to put us off.
And I've said a few times that if we could bring our little house down the highway and park it down here somewhere. Obviously this is our last Sunday with you. We're here technically till Tuesday night, midnight. We are going to retreat this week. We're going back and forth taking some of our stuff home. And then on Friday we'll head back to to bury and sort of park ourselves there. And as they say, what is it about retirement? The pipe and slippers kind of thing. So neither one, but we're going to take a break for a little bit and then see what the Lord has in mind, but we are going to just take a little bit of time to sort out. But we have loved our time with you, and we are so thankful for this. It's been a really interesting time, unexpected for us, unexpected blessing, and we have enjoyed it. So thank you so much for that, and we will continue as we spend our time together here this morning. I will lead you in our call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge, our sanctuary, our stability in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you had given birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are the eternal God. So teach us to number our days that we may cultivate and bring to you a heart of wisdom. Oh, satisfy us with your loving kindness in the morning, now as we grow older, before we grow older, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work, the signs of your power, be revealed to your servants and your glorious majesty to their children. Let the gracious favor of the Lord our God be on us. Confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Amen. And that's from Psalm 90 in the Amplified Translation. Going to sing a beautiful song by Charles Wesley, and the band played it a few moments ago. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? And if you're looking in your songbook or you're listening later wondering where it is, it's number 241. Stand with me as you're able. There are four verses, and we will sing them straight through, please.
Bow together for prayer. God our Father, we come this morning on this, the Lord's Day, to give you thanks, Lord, for the blessings not only of today, but this past week. The blessings of knowing that you've been by our side, that you've walked with us. You've shared our joys, you've shared our sorrows. You've shared with us in laughter, and you shared with us in tears. And God, I pray that this morning, that as we come together in worship, Lord, that we will sense and feel your presence, that we would know that you are here, that we would know that you are a God who loves us, who accepts us for who we are, who forgives us for our failures. Thank you for the life of your Son, Jesus, our Redeemer and our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that we can come this morning and we have that freedom to come. There are no restrictions or things in our community that restricts us from coming to this place of worship. And so, Father, we pray for your people today. We pray, O God, that as we gather together, Lord, we gather, we come from different homes, different walks of life. We come, Lord, with our own need. And from the very beginning of this service today, Lord, I pray that we will present our needs before you and lay them at the altar at the feet of Jesus. That God, that we will be blessed, truly blessed. that, Lord, we will have that joy of knowing it's been good to be in the presence of the Lord. We pray, Lord, for your word this morning, for every chorus and song. We pray, oh God, that everything that's been planned and prepared has been presented to us by you. And that, God, you've instilled in us, Lord Jesus, the words and the music. God, we just ask now, Father, again, that as we worship together, that in one accord, your name will be lifted high. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
If you were here at Rally Day, the outside meeting, we had the inaugural first escarpment boys thing. They were dubbed that because Roy was thinking of the Oak Ridge Boys or some other old group. We have a chorus sing along as these gentlemen get themselves sorted out. So there's some wonderful choruses that we're going to sing. So first we're going to sing "It's No Longer I That Liveth." We'll sing it through twice.
It's no longer I that liveth.
Somebody would do that, so we just waited. So whether we like it or not, it happens, right? Okay, you did not disappoint. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and I shall feast at the table spread for me.
You know the next one, but it's a beautiful chorus. He paid a debt he did not owe. He owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. How many of you know it? Do you think, okay, all right, good, we can, the rest of you catch on. So there's two verses. We'll sing the first and the second.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul. He set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Wonderful. I'm going to listen to this later. Later, so many times. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Stand with me for this. We'll sing it through twice. And I will sing of the mercies.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth.
And playing. Thank you.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth of the Lord.
And let's give these folks and the band and the pianist and the organist, the musicians, and I can tell you as someone who leads services that, you know, to have the music there behind you, literally or in front of you, is so important to worship. Thank you.
Before the service this morning, I said, there's a lot of chatter going on, and it was happy noise, and it will continue, I hope, when we join down in the gym for our potluck today, the first one after a very long time. But then the resounding music and noise now has been so uplifting. So now we get on to the business of the week. If you haven't seen, in the mailbox, just outside, the tax receipts have been prepared and yours will be there to be picked up. Just check on your way through to the gym. If you require new envelopes, we have them and they continue to be undated. So if you are a weekly, a monthly, a biweekly, once a year, pick up. If you need your new envelopes, please see me. Upcoming again, the weekly schedule is there, all of the regular things. The Women's Bible Study begins this week on Tuesday at 1. But there's a couple of special announcements that you need to take a little note of. Take your bulletin home. There is a positive in the kettle campaign, even though we lost almost 2 full days because of the storm at Christmas. They did raise $168,000 and $28, sorry. And then we received a little note saying the tap total was 26,950. So even without the last 2 days, which are often very good for our kettle campaign, we were quite successful this year. Upcoming, the Evergreen on the 9th, and then there's a new note in there about a very special adult fellowship, Fun and Games, on February the 11th at 6:30. And it says, see Major Dawn for details. Anyway, it's an adult gathering, and I'm guessing we'll perhaps get more information as we go on. And then we have the note about Bill and Vera French. Vera is now in Brockville. Bill's still waiting, as far as I know, for a room to become available in the same home as Vera is. And then their daughter is nearby. She's with Bill at the moment. But then they'll all be living nearby when he can get a room down in Brockville. So continue to pray that that opens up for him soon. A thank you from Hope for all the support she's had in the last couple of weeks, her and the family. And now we will take our tithes and offering. Lord, we come this morning and we say thank you that we have the opportunity to gather, to worship, and as well return to you what is yours for your kingdom. Use it for what is needed to expand this ministry within this community. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
Bandmaster, band, beautiful words, and thank you for facilitating that for us as we pondered upon those words. A lot of stuff you're going to miss, and I'm not going to go on right now, or we'll all miss our potluck. I was thinking I'm going to miss the ladies out there in the bleachers. All together out there, the big lineup. Nehemiah 8, 1 to 10, actually, and I didn't tell the whole truth there. I might go on to 12, so sorry about that. If it wasn't for Charlene, I probably wouldn't get it hardly in at all to you. Thank you for your patience and understanding. It's a time when the walls of Jerusalem were broken down, and it was a new beginning. It was a new beginning, a new stage, and you're at a new beginning in a way, although it's kind of like a restart in some ways. But it's sort of like that. And we get the people of Israel there, and Ezra, the scribe, one of our youngest grandson is named Ezra. That's not him, though. We see that the people have come back. There's an ingathering of the people again, and it's a rebuilding. But first and foremost, Ezra reads the word of God, the foundation. And we look at the people's response. It is always heartening that my response might be the same, and maybe you feel for you as well. Ezra 8, 1 to 10. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their town, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud, now we're not going to preach like this, from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood these people here. Next verse, please. Ezra opened the book, and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord and the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And apparently these Levites, whose names are there, showed up, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. I was going to take those names and scrutinize them and divide them so I'd have them ready for this morning. I forgot to do it, and that's why, if you want to read their names for yourself for some to help you sleep before you go to bed, you're welcome to it. They read the book of the law of the Lord, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites, instructing the people, said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went to eat and to drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made unto them. And so the Lord speaks to us in many ways as we hear his word this morning and in these days, the days when, it's kind of like a new beginning, and we're walking with Major Don and walking with the leaders of the Corps, and all of you faithful souls, we march together into the tomorrow that God has given to each of us. Amen. Oh, I just want to say, too, Major Norman Wood, good to see you, sir. You haven't been with us for a while, but we're very happy to see you today. God bless you.
Well, we are told in the scriptures that you're not to add or take away from the word of God. So, by the end of the service, if not by the end of the potluck, I think you should share those names with us, right? Absolutely. Well, it's the Oscars tonight, and it feels like that as I stand, I kind of want to fit myself in there a little bit with thank yous. First of all, and this is my first opportunity to stand before you, to thank you as a congregation for your support over these last number of months. And your support comes in various ways, and for each of those ways, I and my family are very appreciative of that, and certainly for your prayers. Prayer is the power. It's the key that holds us together. So as a congregation, thank you so much for your support over these last number of months. I give a big shout out to the Salvation Army as a whole. Their support, their encouragement, their understanding has certainly meant a lot, again, to me and to my family. To Major Everett for his time that he had spent here giving leadership to the Corps, and certainly to Majors Roy and Charlene. And as there's a saying in the movie The Toy Story, you have a friend in me. And certainly, it's been good to support you in ministry and also to sit under your ministry as well. God is good. Couldn't always say that. The last number of months have been months of challenge. They have been months of, I won't say drifting from God, but it seemed that God was a long way off. And a scripture came to mind that says in Philippians chapter 4, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." That first line was and is a difficult line to call close to the heart. To be content in whatever situation. To serve God as long as I have in active ministry and even long before then, it was a given. My experiences really didn't call me to task of being content. And so as Karen's health deteriorated, we prayed earnestly for that miracle, that healing. And we were confident it would come. It came before, and there was no reason why it wouldn't come again. But as we journeyed, it became more and more realistic that the miracle we wanted wasn't the miracle God was given. To have faith is a powerful thing. Karen's faith did not waver. My faith, on the other hand, did. Not to lose faith, not to lose my relationship with God, but boy, did I pray, in times of distress, where are you, God? Over the course of my ministry, I've sat with people, I've prayed with people, I've consoled people, I've stood, and I share the word of God with people who have mourned, who have grieved, who have lost loved ones. But this was something that really called me to task. I guess sometimes it says, you know, it has to bring you low, to bring you high. Over the course of these last few months, I've come to realize that if it wasn't for the help of God, my trust in God, the hope that we have in the resurrected Savior, where would I be? And Psalm 138, and I've claimed this chapter, particularly a couple of verses, to be very meaningful to me. And it says, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple. and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness, for you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. I called, but you know how it is. You want to hear what you want to hear. So as I called, he spoke, and he assured us that everything was going to be all right. I don't doubt that for a moment. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have done. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Now, I'm not here to preach to you this morning, but to share with you my experience with God, the highs and the lows, and to tell you that there is peace in the midst of the storms. David's psalm, as we see here in many of the psalms, are a continual returning to urgent petitions. He asks God to hear him, as I ask God to hear me, to listen to him, to save him, and to be with him. He is often, as I was very often, desperate for deliverance. If not for deliverance, to know and sense God's presence. If not to save him, if not to save me, then to please give me the strength so that I might not faint and lose heart. Here, as in many instances, David complains about his enemies again and again and again. Death, sickness, was the enemy. Something in my own strength that I couldn't defeat. And the enemy seeks to destroy the body, to bring destruction, doubt, fear, anxiety, restless nights, and weight gain. The enemy seeks to destroy the soul, not only the body, but the soul, to break down that relationship that I had, which I thought was tight with God. The enemy is cruel, devious, and it attempts to convince to give up on God, to turn your back on God. And I've learned, and I'm learning, especially when I find myself in the wilderness, that the devil is a very real enemy. We take this guy very lightly. As Peter says, he's an ever-prowling animal seeking to destroy, to prey upon the weak. Did I lose faith in God? Absolutely not. Was my relationship with God tested? Absolutely. Am I stronger for it? I think so. Do I raise my hands to God and say, God, why? No, not anymore. Not anymore. As I raise my hands to God, whether physically or in spirit, is to thank God. To thank God. To know that heaven is real. To know that for a short time we're apart, but one day to be reunited again. God placed me upon the wheel, upon that potter's wheel, Jeremiah. I became a broken jar, a piece of clay that perhaps needed to be remolded, reshaped. And perhaps with the few chips that I encountered over the years, perhaps it needed to be filled in and strengthened and made strong again. I look forward to being your pastor. When we arrived just over a year and a half ago, we were so excited to be your pastors. We know that God has a great plan and purpose for us all. And over these months, I believe you became my pastor. Your prayers, your visits, your encouragement, your patience, and your understanding. It means a lot. And in these months forward, and perhaps years forward, I believe that God will use us, and when I say us, I mean us, to further extend his kingdom, and that souls will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that in our faith as Christians we will grow stronger, And perhaps more than ever before, in your loss and in your weakness, I might be able to relate more, to understand more. God bless you. Thank you for these moments. You know, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how low we can become in our faith, God is always there. And when you hear his voice, when you hear him speaking, understand it might not be what you want to hear or the words you might think are the words for the hour, but God knows best. God bless you.
Friends, we're going to have a special time of prayer. We're going to sing, it's 355 if you're looking at it, Beautiful Lord, Wonderful Savior, and it talks about being part of the pot, being crafted and held by the potter's hand, and I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Now, this time I'm going to ask Major Don and the members of the ministry board, MAC, to come and stand around the holiness table. We're going to have a special time of prayer for Major Don. So I'd ask you to come forward as we sing this song, please. Prayer, and if you feel so led to put your hand like this to send your prayers, as it were, if you'd like to stand as well, and my husband will pray for Major Don on behalf of the board and on behalf of all of you.
God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God of the prophets, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giver of the Holy Spirit, the one who the Apostle Paul and the mystery of the body of Christ, we come before you because you have said that we can come, as we sang that song about coming boldly, coming to your presence. And we know, Father, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. We thank you, Lord, that we've gone to that place many times and found strength and found hope, found praise, found perspective, found direction, found inspiration, found forgiveness. And Lord, we come there today as you look down upon this body of believers. We come in your Holy Spirit. We come in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for our pastor here, Pastor Don. We thank you for his quiet but strong faith. We thank you for his dear wife who's gone to be with you. We think of his family. Think of Devin. Think of Katrina. We think of Danielle. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them as a family, and yet they will know there's a wider family, the family of God, who's praying, who's uplifting them,
And we thank you for this dear church here, Lord. And we thank you for their fellowship during these past 7 months. We thank you for how much we've learned from them, how much we've observed them and their spirit and their unity and their caring and their love, the openness for new people and the caring for those who are hurting or dying. We thank you, Lord, for all that. And we just pray, Father, for Major Don as he continues now and renews his fellowship with the body of believers, takes up his mantle of preaching and pastoring. We pray, Father, that even though there may be times when his heart may be lonely for that love of the one who's gone to be with you, but we pray that in those times, also in the midst maybe of tears and sorrow and grief, there will be that quiet rest that comes from you, from your presence, from your Holy Spirit. May your love engulf him during these days. May your love engulf his congregation in these days. And may we lift our hearts in praise. We think of all those who've gone in these days. We thank you that we do not grieve as those who have no hope, but those who know that we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, the resurrection of the Savior, who will unite our souls one day with our glorified body in the resurrection. Lord, bless Brother Don. Bless this congregation. We thank you and praise you for each and every one of them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. I'm going to sing one verse of Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, and it's number 353. We're going to sing just the third verse of this and just ask you to stand. We'll sing just this verse, and then my husband's just going to share a couple of words again from the Word of the Lord, and we are here sharing in this way today and very blessed to be here. So 353, just the third verse. It says, "Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace." Love that line. No work too hard for him. Faith receive from him. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Just the one verse, please.
I know you don't believe I'm going to have a few words, but I will. If I use this sermon somewhere else, I'll have to make some changes, though. If I get up in Barrie and say, I realize today is our last full day in St. Catherine's Salvation Army Corps, that won't go over too well. No, it's beautiful service, spirit here, you allowing the Holy Spirit with your spirit to minister the Lord through you all, the band, Brother Don, a lot of courage to say what he said, get through it all. And Brother Don has a very quiet faith. I usually talk too much and I make a lot of noise. My wife has testified to that. But Don is a quiet, but he has that solid faith. And you folks do too, and you will do well together. I'm just going to say a few words because I don't usually get up and preach at 11:45. We never ever change that clock. It says 12:45. And you won't go hungry this morning because there's lots of food out there. But Philippians, Paul said to the Philippians, and I say to you this morning, Charlene and I thank God in every remembrance of you folk because of the partnership in the gospel from this first day until now. We thank you folks for that. Paul had a special place in his heart for the Philippian church, and it's been our pleasure to come alongside as fellow Christians, to journey together, to pray, to fellowship, to support each other together It's been a privilege. We thank you for that. We thank the Lord. When we came here, we hardly knew anybody. I met Steve and Barry one Sunday, and Des and Jennifer we knew before because we got married at Oshawa Corps, and I was the assistant there before we got married. They were there. We knew the Rideouts, of course, from way back. Trims, somewhere along the way. And the Pitchers. Anybody else we'd know before? Who? And Vi, from my home church. And Carl.
Yeah, we just keep adding people we already know.
Probably know half the congregation by the time I'm finished. But anyway, didn't really forget you. It was a forgetfulness of the mind, but not of the heart. We got to know and appreciate you people very much. We thank you, as mentioned, for your support of Major Don and Major Karen, their family. That was very beautiful, and that blessed our hearts. The Christian body is really beautiful, as it always has, but it just gives you a testimony to it. And your faithfulness and steady support of the ministry here. Paul said at the Church of Corinth, it is required that those who have been given a managerial stewardship, whatever, should prove to be faithful and trustful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. And I know some of you are the influencers. There's always those who tend to have a greater influence sometimes because they've been around longer, positions or whatever. And I'm so happy to see that you influencers have been faithful. You've been trustful. And you yourselves have ministered to the congregation. And also for the whole body of Christ, all of us, to be faithful is the most important thing. And you have proven that. And it's a blessing to see. Paul speaks specifically of the Christian leaders, but to the what all congregation members can be influential. I remember my dad, and he certainly wasn't a theologian by any stretch of the imagination, but back in Cornerbrook, sometimes, you know, when one officer came, somebody didn't like something, and they disappeared for a while till he disappeared, and they came back. Dad used to always say, in his very much common down-to-earth, I don't go there to worship the officer, I go there to worship the Lord. And when they preach from the Bible, there's always something for me to learn if I'm open to the Holy Spirit. And you've proven that here, and I'm grateful. In Galatians 2:8-9, it says, when Paul went to visit the church in Jerusalem, he said he saw James, Peter, and John, those reputed to be the pillars. We often hear that word, the pillars of the church. And it says here, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I thought about the man that said that, Paul. You can read his testimony, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was shipwrecked, and just a myriad of things that happened. And yet he was faithful. Sometimes he was clinging to some boards because a ship got sunk, and he was hanging on for dear life, and he might have said to himself, what am I doing here? What have I got myself into? But he remained faithful, beaten sometimes, hungry sometimes. But you know, and he proclaimed to you and me, he was the first one to proclaim in the scriptures the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the body of Christ. None of the other apostles did. Paul did. He said it was given to him a special message by God, the mystery of the body of Christ. And yet, you know, he was faithful. But do you ever think if we could talk to Paul today and say, Paul, those letters to those little churches in the vast Roman Empire where you weren't even a dot on the map are read by millions and billions of people over the years, and we still read about them today, and we get spiritual strength, and the Holy Spirit still uses, Paul, those letters while you were in prison. Do you know Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books of the Bible, 13 of the 27. But you know, he knew that his labor in the Lord wasn't in vain, and you and I bear fruit that Paul's labor was not in vain. And then your oneness here is a great thing to see, your unity here. You know, we had board meetings and we mostly agreed. Maybe sometimes we disagreed a little bit, but it was always done in a Christ-like manner. And I want to say to the board, I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the way you guys carry yourselves, not only in worship, but in doing the business of the church. It was a blessing and a witness to us. Do you know, one another is mentioned in the Bible 100 times in the New Testament. 100 times, one another. And 59 of those are commands. Here's what it says, and I'm getting near the end. I know you're going to say hallelujah. But here's what it says. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Like-mindedness towards the things of God. Care for one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. Submit to one another. Show hospitality to one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. Then there are the negative things. Do not lie to one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Do not provoke one another. Do not slander one another. Do not grumble against one another. So the Bible is always about one another, together. Ephesians 4 and 32 is good because we often need to be forgiven. We often need to forgive others. We need to forgive ourselves sometimes too. We need to forgive those who don't always see our way or maybe sometimes hurt us, sometimes deeply. But the Bible still tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving one another, how? Just as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven you. And then get your eyes on the prize, Jesus, not on the challenges or the problems. Keep your eyes on Jesus, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Glance at other things, but spend time pondering about Jesus, like Mary in her heart. So it's been wonderful to be here. I'm going to miss you guys. We will come back again, maybe for a weekend, but we will need a place to stay. We'll help you with the food. We'll take you to Mary Brown's, my favorite. But it's been a pleasure, my friends. It's been a pleasure. Of course, I have my great helper here, who I couldn't do without, and that's why my heart's with Major Don in the future. But I know you folks will. Your heart will be with him, and he'll be with you. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. We're going to sing this together. Maybe you'd like to stand as we sing. Let's keep near to the heart of God. Bring each other to the heart of God and look on to Jesus. No matter if we don't agree with each other all the time, look on to Jesus. Forgive one another in Christ. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, bless me.
Remain standing as we sing our last song. 464, I heard an old story, and as we continue, we'll finish our final song and our benediction, and then we'll go down the hall and continue our fellowship. Three verses straight through, please.
Thank you.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, oh boy, than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Dear friends, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his presence upon you and give you his peace. Amen.